The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does.
Morning, Wynn.
Morning, Wynn. Morning, Terry. How you doing, brother?
There's an echo in here.
It's going to be one of those days.
It is. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter here with Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading.
Shasta County.
What are you, like, pardon the interruption?
Why not? I'm doing what you do.
Broadcasting live from KCNR. Downtown Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better.
When it's on.
And you can listen live.
Yes, sir.
On KCNR1460.com on your computer. This is podcasted worldwide. God help the world. And also archived forever. Hey, Travis, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Got a glare on the window.
We're living the dream.
To the right. Is that hard to tell you to lean to the right?
I can do it.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. There you go. I can see you. Oh, thank you. Pull down the shade. We're here this morning with Brian Caples, who is running for the superintendent of schools of Shasta County. And we're excited to have him. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here. I should probably preface with management told me to keep my eye on you, too, so I'm reporting back any shenanigans right after this. So
okay, good.
Mind your business, okay?
Do you need a notepad?
Yeah, I don't mess around. I used to be a principal, remember? No, I keep it all right here, yeah. Wynn. Yeah, all filed away, right up
in
there.
We're both used to wearing the dunce cap. So yeah. Anyway, we're here with Brian this morning. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'll just kind of start at the beginning. Originally from Ventura, California, born and raised down there. Just a wonderful place to grow up. I grew up in the 80s, early 80s, actually. Just a wonderful place to grow up. Beach, parks, surf. Was really into sports, loved baseball, loved basketball. So that was my life. And honestly, that's one of the things that concerns me about what's going on with these masks and the pandemic, is these kids are not being able to play sports like they should, and certainly weren't last year. So besides that, just what a wonderful place to grow up. You know, we always knew that my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time and my fiance, knew that we wanted to come up north. We wanted to come to Reading. And her family had been up here dozens and dozens of summers. Come up and spend a week. Come up and spend 2 weeks. They all ski. They all just family time. You want to talk about the definition of family. And family time. You spend 2 weeks with family, and if you can walk away from that still talking to them, you love each other, right? So her family. That's right. I really learned that. I had a wonderful, wonderful family. Two of the biggest influences on me were my grandmother and my grandfather. My father passed away when I was 9, so they were a tremendous impact on me. Godly people, just loved each other, loved on their family. Never missed a ball game of mine. I can't remember one time. Maybe except when they were traveling or out of the state or out of the country. So when I saw that in my wife's family, that's exactly what I had, and that's exactly what I want for my family. So we basically just modeled our family after them. We loved on them. We cared for them. But we also disciplined them, right? My kids were disciplined. They know right from wrong. They know what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And they are all well-adjusted adults. My twin boys are just graduated from college last year. My twin girls are getting ready to graduate from college.
We have two sets of twins?
We do. We have two sets of twins. 22 months apart, I should add.
Oh, my gosh.
So my wife,
God bless her.
Have you ever heard of Wonder Woman? Right. You've heard of Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
I just did.
My wife makes Wonder Woman look like Punky Brewster. My wife is Wonder Woman squared. That woman, she was born to have babies. And I'll tell you what, she would have had 10 or 12 of them. So, but we couldn't afford it. There's no way that was going to happen. We couldn't afford it. What we're going to do instead, we've opted to have 75 grandbabies.
There you go.
So we'll just do that. So now all the pressure's on my kids.
There you go.
So grew up down south, told you a little bit about my family. We moved up here. We were looking for jobs. I graduated from college. My wife was a year or so behind me. When I graduated and got my credential, she was a year behind me, so she still needed to get her credential. When you teach in California, you need a teaching credential. So it's another year and a half of classes, time spent in class, volunteering, working with kids, etc. So we were fortunate enough to be able to get a job up here. I got a job in one of the best districts in the whole county.
Which one is that?
Pacheco Elementary School.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It was really funny because back then, I think, I'm going to say six, seven, eight of us, if not more, were hired at the same time. So all of us became very close, even though we didn't teach the same grades, and we might not have even been at the same school. But we attended all the trainings together. We just had a ball. We were like the young kids.
Okay.
And then now when I look in the mirror, I don't know where that young kid is anymore because he's not here anymore.
Yep.
So, but just a wonderful, I can't say enough about the people at Pacheco Elementary School. And I'd take the whole hour if I were to name them off. One of my boys, is a PE tech there, and he's working on his teaching credential, and he also substitute teach for him. And he absolutely loves it. So, you find me someone that loves substitute teaching, and you found yourself a teacher.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
it's not easy. It's fun, but it's not easy, right? So we moved up here, worked up here for 5 or 6 years teaching. My boys were born maybe 3 years after we moved up here. And I'd always wanted to be a principal, right? My goal was to be a principal, right? I never planned on being an assistant superintendent or a superintendent. I wanted to be the principal,
right?
When you're in a class, you can affect 30 kids or 150 kids if you have a schedule, period schedules. But as a principal, I could affect 400, 600, 800. High school's got couple thousand. So I could really do some good things for those kids. So that's kind of how I always thought about that. So I earned my master's degree and my administrative credential. And I planned on teaching for a few more years because I loved it. It was fun. I was still young. But lo and behold, my beautiful baby girls were born. And so right about the time they were born, 22 months after my boys, was right about the time I was finishing up my master's degree and my credential. So I thought, I've got to feed these guys. I've got to put food in their mouths. My responsibilities have just changed.
Yeah, doubled.
Right? Think about this. One of the best things that ever happened to us, when my boys were born, my wife was a teacher in Gateway Unified School District at Project City. All of her co-teachers, her administrators, everyone that worked at the school, they had a party for her, a twin party. They all came dressed alike. So you two would have came dressed exactly the same.
Oh, we're not?
So, right, yeah. You two, the other two teachers would have came dressed exactly. The hat, red shirt, however they decided to do it. But they all brought diapers.
Oh.
And we were so touched because,
That's awesome.
I think I mentioned in an interview before, I made like $1,700 a month.
Yeah.
Right? And this is like back in the 90s or whatever, whatever year that was.
Yeah.
It didn't go very far. Rent, back then I think we had a cell phone and we had cable or a couple things and, it didn't go very far. So that was just such a blessing. And we will never forget that. And we talk about that all the time.
That's awesome.
So I went down after, when I decided, okay, it's time to, I'll jump in and I'll just see if I can get an assistant principal job. I didn't want to jump to principal because that's a big jump. And you see what happens when people go from teacher to principal? It doesn't work sometimes. And I'm not saying it doesn't, but they need a lot of coaching. They need a lot of time, a lot of face time with the superintendent. Assistant superintendents, a lot of training, right? And you have to find the right person to be able to do that. Not everyone can do that. So I took a job as an assistant principal down in Lemoore, California. Had a great time with those kids, had a great time with the people. We wanted to come back up north. We said, well, we'll go down there for a couple years and then we'll come back. Well, what happened was we went down there and I had told my boss maybe halfway through my second year as an assistant principal, I wanted to tell him, we're thinking about going back down south because I wanted to give them time to hire a principal, right, or promote somebody to do it. You can't just say, June 15th, by the way, I'm leaving. That's not professional at all. So I did that, and he said, I appreciate you telling me. Thanks for doing that, because a lot of people won't do that. They'll just get a job and cut out, which is horrible, right, especially in education. It takes months and months to find somebody, literally. maybe more. So I don't know, a week, 10 days later, he said, hey, you, I know you want to be a principal, and I know you want to move back up north to Renning. Which one do you want more? And I said, well, you know, I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, if you, you know, there's a job opening at Cinnamon Elementary, which was a brand new school. It was only built 2 years before this.
Wow.
Brand new. And brand new, you think great, but brand new also means no blinds on the windows. Right. No, a lot of things they don't know, trees for shade for the kids in on the playground.
Right.
Right. So it's great. It looks beautiful, but there's a lot of things that it didn't have that I was able to be able to work with my staff and my administrators to be able to do, which was wonderful. So we stayed there for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And same thing. We said, well, let's go back up north. Let's go back up. Now is the time. I've got some experience. During that time, I kind of did the same thing that I did with my boys. When my girls were born, I got my master's degree, and I wanted to do that while my boys were little, so they didn't know any different, right? Mm-hmm. They sleep all the time and eat, and they don't know, you know, I hold them once in a while, they don't know any different.
Yeah.
I didn't want to miss anything when they were older. So I did the same thing with my girls. I started a doctorate program. So by the time I left Lemoore, I think, oh, gosh, I finished it a few years before I was left Lemoore. So I thought, okay, well, that'll help me. I'll learn my craft even better, because you're talking, I was young. Right, I was like 30 years old at the time. I was just wet behind the ear. So we said the same thing. Well, we'll go back up north. I've had my education, as much education as I can actually get. We know where we want to go. We'll go back up to Reading. We may not live. I may not work in Reading, but I might work in one of the outlying areas.
Right.
Right. Up the mountain. Up that mountain. Up that mountain. Right. There's lots of ways to go.
Pick a mountain.
Yeah, and they're all great schools. So that I, you know, it didn't matter to me. I was going to go be in charge of it, and I'd make it even better. So we did that. We decided we were going to go back up north. So I needed to practice interviewing. So I said, well, you know, let's practice some interviews, Brian. You know, I get better at it. I'll be able to just hone that craft. And I don't mind doing it. It was actually kind of fun. So I think it was the first or second interview that I had. They offered me a job. So I went down south farther, wow. A couple hours farther, the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it was a great opportunity. A superintendent position, wonderful, wonderful people. This is at Semi-Tropic Elementary School. Very low performing at the time. I'm sure it's close to that now, but, you know, 99% of those kids were Hispanic.
Yeah.
A good portion of them didn't speak English. They're just lovely, lovely people. And I actually learned a little bit of Spanish while I was there over the 5 years that I was there. And when I'll tell you, you want to see somebody's face light up. When I would we would have a parents' night or an award ceremony. A lot of those parents didn't speak English. So you could either have a translator, right? I talked and the translator talks. Well, what I did was I tried to do it myself. So I'd say, you know, Mi amo es Señor Capos, welcome, you know, to Escuela. And I'd butcher it. I mean, I'd butcher it, right? It was, you know, but I'm going to be honest with you. They absolutely loved it.
They loved it, yeah.
The fact that I would try to learn it. I wasn't good at it. And frankly, it could have been very embarrassing for me if I didn't have the self-esteem, you know, if I worried about that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they loved it. And guess what it did for me? It made me want to learn more Spanish. Right? So the next time I had something, I could throw a few more words and I could, you know, the kids, I'd say, well, what is this? What is bus? Well, bus is escuela. Or school is escuela. You know, book is libro. You know, so, or libra. So it was just so much fun. So I did that. And we finally said, well, after 5 years of that, we got to get back up north because my kids are now like in junior high. So we come back up north. I work in get a job up in Siskiyou County. So we pass Reading, and we go 2 hours north in Siskiyou County. So, again, wonderful people up there. Had a few issues with the school board, and I won't go into those because it's most people already know about that. I've talked about that in another interview. But then went down to Palermo School District, which is in Butte County. Had a great time there. Then went up and helped out in Trinity County for the last 6 months or so and worked with them. That was not one of my most positive experiences up there. A guy like me is not the man for the job.
There's a lot of difficulties in that county.
Oh, it's crazy. Man, it's crazy. And I'm not going to say they're not nice people, but what I am going to say is, you know, that's a school district where nobody runs for the school board. So you get who you get, right? And I'm not bad-mouthing them. I would never want to do that, but we didn't see eye to eye at all. And those of you that know me, I'm going to do what's right for kids no matter what. I don't care. Do whatever you want to me. Take my house. Take my car. Right? Whatever. I'm doing what's best for kids. And that's part of the problem that we have right now.
What exactly does a superintendent of schools in the county do? What's their jurisdiction, and what is their job description, and what authority do they have?
Well, it's an elected position. All of their duties and responsibilities are in legislation. So they're legislating. I'm gonna have to come back next week if I told you all of them. But a few of them are oversight of the financial aspects of the school districts, right? We can't have school districts that are going broke. Somebody's got to watch over that. So we work with school districts, or they work with school districts, to make sure that they're fiscally solvent. Now, right now, they're all flush because they took millions and millions of dollars of COVID relief money. And what that money, you know, when they took that money, they made policies and procedures that said your kid has to remain masked, your kid has to get tested, or teachers have to get tested. Now, mind you, even though you're not sick, you're getting tested. And I don't have to tell you how much those tests cost, right? So we're talking about just wasting money. So in a few months, the state's going to come out and say, and they've already talked about it, but it'll be a few months or this summer, they're going to say, well, if you want to come to school in September, kids are going to have to get the COVID shot. Teachers are going to have to get it. And they're firing people. I have good friends that they are literally running out of jobs. I'm talking about people that were teacher of the month, teacher of the year. These are good people that they're just running out, and it makes me so frustrated. So everyone knows what's going on. You know, we're not fighting for anything but our freedom and our rights. You know,
so what jurisdiction would you have to, for example, when these mandates come out, you know, I'm sure that has to do with the money. There's strings attached, and that's why the policies are there and the mandates are there. What is it as a superintendent of schools in the county can you do to combat that and stand between what you think is unreasonable and what people think is unreasonable and what the state wants to do?
Well, our current county superintendent of schools, I even heard her say this, I believe, in an interview, that her position is a liaison of the state.
Wow.
No, thank you. No, thank you, ma'am. I don't want a liaison of the state. You know, wow. We could just, let's just have this position appointed by the governor or by Mr. Biden, and we'll just, why have a position at all?
Right.
If you're just going to pass on the policies and procedures.
They can just dictate from their office.
Sure. Why not just do it from a computer? So the difference between me is I believe in freedom. I believe that if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to wear a mask, nobody's putting a mask on this guy.
Yeah.
Nobody. And if I'm going to fight for my right to do it, and nobody's putting a mask on your kid, just tell them no.
Right.
No, I'm not doing it. Right? Sit down on the floor, cross your legs and cross your arms, and tell them no.
Yep.
Not doing it. Move me.
Yeah.
Right? Let's see what happens then. Well, they're all worried about getting sued.
Of course.
Well, a parent's going to sue us because they got sick. Well, how do you prove that?
You don't.
The whole world's full of viruses and germs and bacteria. You can't prove that. Now, what I say is they're worried about getting sued. What's going to happen if I get into office and you get sued by your own county office for doing this? Right? How are you going to feel then?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to quit. Right? I'm not quitting. You're not doing this to our kids. You either change it now or we will get rid of you. That's the way I feel. Right? And I'm the guy to do it. You notice nobody else says this.
Right.
Have you heard any other administrator in Shasta County say this? Any other board member?
They're dead silent.
No. They got retirement packages. Mm-hmm. They make good money.
Cash.
Go on Transparent California and see how much money these people make.
Way too much.
Yeah. So I think at our County Office of Education, $30 million budget, 326 employees, 70 of those employees in 2020, they don't have updated 21 and 22 yet, 70 of those employees, $100,000 a year or more.
Now, is that just salary? Is that salary and benefits?
Thank you. That's salary and benefits. So your benefits would be, I don't know, $12,000 more or whatever that is. But
yeah.
It still counts. And that's, you know, and you got pension, you got all that stuff that goes with it. People don't even realize what the pension part of it is.
And then what about the unfunded liability for the retirement down the road?
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's another 25% or whatever that adds up to the salary and the benefits.
Right.
People don't realize that. You can't even find information, right? You can't even find it. But guess who can find the information?
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
I know where the information is. I know where to go find it. The average person doesn't know where to find it. And let me tell you this. If a parent were to call and ask the County Office of Education, there's a good chance they wouldn't even talk to them. Let me give you an example. Three weeks ago Friday, I don't remember the date, I emailed Mrs. Flores and said, hey, you know, I think we owe it to the community. I think we owe it to the county to have a couple of debates. My recommendation is let's do one this month, let's do one next month, and let's do one the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you want to have more, I'll do one once a week with you. I mean, I'll go every day if you want to.
Yeah.
Didn't hear back from her. I didn't hear back from her. A week later, I said, well, okay, she doesn't want to talk to me, obviously. So I wrote a letter. walked it into her office, gave it to the gal, who was a real sweet gal, gave it to her and said, can you please give this to Mrs. Flores? Week later, guess what happened?
Nothing.
Same story, nothing. The other day, Friday, I call, leave a message on her direct line. She's the one saying, hi, this is Mrs. Flores, please leave me a message. Ironically, I'll get back to you, right? Go figure with that. Left a message. So we'll see if that actually happens. And I don't think our community members want someone that is not going to be public. I'm very public about what I say, what I do. Every Friday morning, until the election, I may even do it after the election, I'm going to have a thing called Coffee with Caples. So I'll be at a particular coffee shop and from 8 to 10, and you can just come and talk to me.
And when does this start?
This is going to start next Friday.
And we're at?
This will be on the From the Hearth on the downside of Churn Creek. It's 2560 or 2650. Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but it's, you know, there's a few of them in town. So I'll just be there. If you can come, if nobody wants to come, great. I'll enjoy my coffee and I'll get some work done. But if anybody wants to come and talk to me, we can do that. I would like to see her do that too. Mm-hmm. Right? I would like to see her more visible. Does a great job of the photo op, her getting an award. Mm-hmm. By the way, these awards just get passed from person to person.
Yeah.
You get it this year. You get it this year. I get it this year. Guess what? I don't want that award. It's meaningless. It's like a participation trophy. But if that's what you're running on, well, my gosh, you're qualified for the job if you got a bunch of awards. So
we do have a caller on the line.
Sure.
Siskiyou Steve, what say you? Do you have a question for Ryan?
Yeah, I do, actually. And Ryan, I used to surf East C Street in Rincon when it broke.
You're kind of breaking up a little, Steve. Your sound is really breaking up. Maybe you could. You're not quite coming through. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I used to surf C Street in Rincon when it broke back in the '60s. Would you mind, by chance? You said you came up to Siskiyou County. It didn't work out, and I totally understand that. We have some real problems up there, but we're trying to fix them, and I'm really hard at work at that, along with my sweetie pie. And would you mind coming up and talking with a couple groups about you're running for superintendent, and that's one of the biggest things that is happening, I think, across the country is maybe the parents getting involved with these school boards. You know, San Francisco just did a major recall of three of them. That was huge. And that's trickling down to L.A. already. So I wonder if we might, and then I would suggest also Erin Ryan's show from 12 to 2. She's a great interviewer, and that would be very effective. But we'd love to have you up here if you wouldn't mind coming up to speak to a couple of our groups. We have a Patriot group, and we have the Siskiyou Republican Women's
Hey, Steve, coming up on a hard break. Anything else, buddy?
Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to ask if he'd be willing to come up and talk to us. Thank you
so much.
Steve, I would be honored to come up there. I would be honored, and I know a few good places to eat, too, so maybe we'll do it at a nice little coffee shop or restaurant, so I'm sure you do, too. Yeah, I would be honored. Steve, if you go to votebryancaples.com, BRYANCAPLES.com, if you'll fill out the link that send us a message, my campaign manager will make sure that I get that, and I'll get back to you right away. I'd love to do it as soon as possible, to be honest with you. Siskiyou County, people don't realize, well, people here realize it, but it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yes.
Right? People down south don't even know it exists, but it
and
is
that's okay.
Beautiful.
And that's okay.
Right, that's how we want. My father-in-law, they'd say, well, how do you like it up there? And he'd say, you wouldn't like it at all. Don't bother coming.
Yeah, they kind of like that. Siskiyou County is interesting. Takes a while for people to warm up to you. I know I started.
Decades.
I started in business up there in 1986 and took till about 88 to get them to warm up. But once they warm up, you have a family.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that, we're going to have to go off to our first break, and we'll go off to that, and we'll come back with Brian Caples on the other side. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Telling the people truthful, their power and gain, and taking whatever we've got.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Travis, did my wife send that music in?
Sally went hard today.
She did. Man, oh, man.
What'd you do to her, Terry?
I should probably be at home.
What did you do?
What am I doing here, man?
I turned that music down. I was like, what's
oh, yeah.
She's
yeah.
awake.
Yeah, Sally, you should have seen Travis.
Rock it
he
up.
He danced. It's something, well, wait. Maybe you shouldn't see drowning. But, no, I'm just kidding, brother. It's you got moves.
Thank you, yeah.
You got moves.
Comes with age.
Your back is popping, your hips out of joint.
Oh, yeah.
We're back here at Jefferson State of Mind with Brian Caples. He's running for the superintendent of schools of Shasta County. And we'd like to let everybody know, if you have a question or a comment or you want to know something about his campaign, you can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Brian, I wanted to, you know, this debate business is really a good idea. I think it's something that a lot of people are really looking forward to. I know we're setting up different debates with different groups at different places, and these debates are actual debates. They're not forums to where somebody asks you a question and this one a question and that one a question, and you can do the proverbial platitude and dance. So, one of the things I think that would be great about a debate is one thing we're going to be doing with the debates we start having is having each candidate is allowed 3 questions to ask another candidate. Mm-hmm. And I think that by doing that, you can't skirt the issue, do the dance, do the platitude, all that sort of stuff. Getting back to superintendent of schools, what would you change? What would you change as far as something you see that's just a complete mess in our school system and something you have jurisdiction over, what would be the first thing you'd want to do?
The very first thing, and this is a given. One of the responsibilities of the County Office of Education is to train school board members of their rights and their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I've met several school board members over the last month and a half, or however long it's been I've been doing this. Several never had any training.
Oh, my gosh.
So they – I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No. I said, oh, my gosh.
That's what I said. Right? Wow. I said, well, so what do you do? Oh, we defer to the superintendent. Well, the superintendent's getting his information from the County Office of Education. Right? If you're not – again – if you're a school board, you have complete control. There are two things that school boards do. They set policy. So when they got this money, some of your – Shasta Union High School District got $6 million. I'm not talking $600,000. I'm not talking six.
With
six
an M, yeah.
Right. Million. And that's just the third round.
For what?
Oh. Well, for COVID relief money. And basically when they took that money, they agreed to continue masking kids, continue testing people that aren't sick, sending kids home. Met a gentleman the other day. His son has been sent home so many times, he's probably not going to get a football scholarship. I'm going to tell you what, if that happened to my kids, my boys got golf scholarships. If you ruined my boys' chances of getting a scholarship for college, the Bible says be as fierce as a lion, but as gentle as a lamb.
Right.
Well, that lamb part's going out the door.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what. Now you got to deal with my wife, right? You don't talk about my wife. So they took this money, and they know it. They know they did. We all know they did, right? Give it back. You know, I told Shasta High School District, Union High School District a week or two ago, if the state comes after you and is going to sue you, I'll back you up. Just like I might be the one to sue you, right? I might sue you with the County Office of Ed. I'll back you up. We're a team. Right. What we have is... I never want to badmouth my opponent. I don't want to do that. I consider myself a godly man, a good man. I don't want to badmouth her. But my opponent has zero experience for this position. She was never a principal. She was never a school district superintendent. She was appointed from teacher to district office curriculum director, and then from district office, I believe, don't quote me on this, but this is what I believe, then to Shasta County Office of Education assistant superintendent curriculum director, then was appointed to the office that she's in now. Well, what you have a curriculum director in the leadership position. I'm sure she makes a wonderful number two. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Because she'll do exactly what she's told. She's proven that, okay, right? She'll do whatever she's told, even if it harms the kids. What you need is a leader. You need someone with experience. And if that person's not me, I encourage anybody else to stand up and run with us.
Absolutely.
Just for clarification, because you threw a lot of things out there. It's okay. What jurisdiction does the County Office of Education have? Where can they interpose in between something that comes from the state that they believe, is really affecting the rights of the children, the parents, et cetera? So give us the jurisdiction and how the county can actually interpose, because most of us have been told that the county is helpless in any way, shape, or form against the state. So maybe you could explain that.
Well, my question would be to them, then, why do they have a $30 million budget and 326 employees?
Well,
why are they there? Why are they there?
Right.
Let's spend that money on the homeless. Let's spend that money on working with pregnant teens. Let's actually spend that money. So this is what happens. For the County Office of Education, 326 employees, $30 million budget, 70 of them making over $100,000 a year more with benefits and salary. There's also several schools that the County Office of Education is in charge of. And these are your lowest socioeconomic, your kids that are in Corton Community School, special education, Native American kids. Okay. These are our most neediest kids. Now, again, nobody knows this information because they don't know how to find it, right? I know how to find it, and I'm not afraid to say it. I know how to find it. Those kids that our County Office of Education serves, their graduation went down by 20% last year. 20. Well, 19 point something, I believe, but
20,
close to 20. Let's just say 19. I don't want to be called a liar.
Right, okay.
19%. That's unacceptable. Those are the most needy kids, mm-hmm. right? So we already know about what our other kids got, mm-hmm. and their test scores went down. I heard her on a radio station a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about how out of all the schools in the county, right, add them all up, figure out how they did well, only two grades went up. Two.
Two grades went
up. And I don't have to tell you how many grades there are, right? Only two. And of those, you can't really find information of where they went. Did they go from 10% to 12%? That's horrible, right? They didn't go from 98 to 100, I can guarantee that. So what you've got is a curriculum director running everything that doesn't have time to be a curriculum director because the job's too big, right? So how can you do both? How can you be the curriculum director and the county superintendent and be the leader at the same time? It doesn't work.
We were talking about the money and how we could send it back. Well, even if we spent the money already, why would we have to send it back? Or even if we have it, what if we just didn't send it back? And again, I think what a lot of people are wondering is that the difference that the position that you're running for would have on the effect of what we're dealing with now with the masking and all that stuff. Could you literally go in and say, hey, we're not going to do this. The schools aren't going to do this. I'm against this. I'm going to stand against this. What kind of stand can you take and have real effect? I mean, even public opinion would be great, you doing that. But what is there some real effect that you can have? And last part of that question, does the Board of Supervisors have anything they could do to help you in that?
Perfect. Well, this is how it works. The schools that I just told you about, I would have jurisdiction over. My staff would have jurisdiction over. None of them are going to be forced to wear a mask. None of them are going to be forced to get a test. None of them are going to be forced to take this shot that none of us want. Mm-hmm. If you want to do those things, by all means, right? Do it. That's great, but that's your right. I could say no to those. I'm going to say no to those. Now, when I talked about our school boards and training them, they need to be trained to know this. You're in charge. Why are you there? You put the policy in place and voted for it. So guess what? If you put it in place, guess who is the only entity that gets to take it out of place? Them.
Yeah.
Right? I don't see why anybody doesn't make this connection. Is it, maybe it's me. I don't know. Am I the crazy one here, Terry? I don't know. So they need to be trained. Each one of these school boards is sovereign. They have complete control over this.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Have you ever heard of a little school named Happy Valley Elementary School?
Yeah.
You ever heard of a man named Tim Garmin?
Yep. Never.
Right? What did they do to him? Do you really believe the school or the state is going to come and just shut your kids down?
No.
Do you really believe that?
No.
They're like I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah,
let's right. I'm going to shut everything down. Your kids are going to be. We already tortured them for 2 years. Let's torture them some more by just taking their schools away.
Let's be the first school to be shut down.
Sure.
See what hell breaks loose.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And guess who's going to be the superintendent at the time?
Yeah.
You.
This 230-pound man right here.
Yeah.
Right. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. Excuse my grammar. It ain't happening.
Yep.
Right. You take it all away. Take it all away. Look how we were educated. I don't know. You guys are a little bit. Terry's a little older. You and I are probably close to the same age.
We're the same age. Terry's way older.
Wait,
than
yeah,
that.
Terry. Yeah, he looks good for 85.
He looks good for his age.
You think about how we. I was not educated with computers.
No,
we were educated with books and a teacher. And again, training these boards to say, you know what? Let your teacher be in charge of that classroom.
Yes.
Because what they do is they get a program, and the teacher has to implement that program.
Right.
And let's face it, these programs are unbelievably expensive. They don't work 98% of the time. And then when that one doesn't work, guess what they do? They get another program. And the teachers go to more training, and they do that.
And that was all exposed during COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, absolutely. And some of the agenda is not
right.
What I would agree with, and I'll be loud and proud about it.
Yeah.
So let's get it back to I want to say it back to basics. You know, you get out of high school, and what does that diploma get you? What does it get you?
Entry into into a university or whatever.
Yeah, a very entry-level job.
Yeah.
You're not really trained to do anything.
Right.
What I'd like to see is make sure those kids that are 18 know how to fry an egg.
Yeah.
Know how to sew a button on a shirt.
Do their checkbook.
Talk to them about student debt.
Yes.
That is criminal.
Oh, man, yeah.
What the government does, if you borrow money from the government for a student loan, let's say you borrow $5,000 a semester.
Right.
I borrow $5,000. Guess how much they send you? $8,000.
Yeah.
And they don't know to send it back.
Right.
But when they get done with their education after 4 years, now their student loan's almost doubled. It's a scam.
Yep.
So we need to be teaching those kids. Work your way through. Junior college, we have one of the best junior colleges in the country.
Yeah.
In Shasta Junior College. First 2 years, it's free. Unless you get a scholarship or you do something of that nature, then maybe you can go off to college. But if you're paying $50,000, $60,000 a year to go to school out of town and you're paying for the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, let's put that experience off for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and let's just live life, get through school, do your thing,
and then the experience isn't always positive.
No, no.
And the thing is, not everybody that goes through the education program, K through 12, is going to go to university
exactly.
or junior college. There are wonderful trade schools. We have some here locally. Mm-hmm. They're going to go out in the workforce, and they're going to be productive citizens out there paying their taxes, paying their bills, earning an income, buying a house, growing a family. Yep. Not every person is cut out to go to university. It's not happening.
I'll tell you a quick story. Several years ago, my wife and I, we have a porch. It's got, I don't know, 6 or 8 steps. You walk up to our house, and it's tile. And it's not real pretty, right? It's not real pretty. It's like, well, how about nice? Let's get some brick, and let's go get a quote for some brick. Had two gentlemen come out. The lowest quote was $9,000 to brick my – I'm not talking 200 square feet. I'm talking, you know, 80 steps. Square – right. It's not a lot. and I see $9,000 was the lowest quote. I said, why in the world – I can't afford that, first of all.
Yeah.
Why in the world would it cost that much? He said, there's only two of us that know how to do it here. Uh-huh. There's only two of us.
I said, wow,
you need to teach me, and I need to get out of education and even my superintendency. I need to come work with you. It was like a 2-day job.
Yeah.
And you know how much brick is. It's not cheap, but it's not $9,000.
Right.
So that is, you know, electric. I had metal shop, wood shop, electric shop, home ec. I know how to sew a button on a shirt.
Yeah.
Because some teacher taught me that.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on about these skills. How to make enchiladas, right? I mean, how to live. The life skills. We're not teaching life skills. What we're doing in a lot of these classes is telling you how bad Terry is because he's a white man.
Yeah.
And that his great-great-great-grandpappy was racist. That's what you're getting.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that about every school in the county, but it's creeping in.
It is creeping in.
And they are training the teachers now with this. So your teachers, you're going to see them. They're buying into it. Right? So that's what frustrates me. And Terry, I want to answer your second question. I can't remember what it was now since I went on for 30 minutes.
What's your name again? The second question was, what jurisdiction does the Board of Supervisors have, if any, to help you in this? What can they possibly do? What do you see that our elected officials that run the county or think they run the county would do?
Sure.
Could do.
One of the things, none. Let me just answer it. Without question right now, none, right? The County Office of Education and the local school districts have complete autonomy.
And they don't get any money allocated from the county, do they?
Not the county. Not like that. You get taxes and local taxes, but they don't necessarily send it to you.
So that's mandatory spending by the state.
Right. Okay. Let me tell you what I would do, though. I go to those meetings already.
Yes.
And what I can tell you is my opponent's never at those meetings. I've never seen her at one of them. What I would do is work closely with the Board of Supervisors, the City of Reading, council members, our sheriff, right, our DA. How about we all work together? You've seen how dysfunctional our Board of Supervisors have been the last few years. Mm-hmm. Let's work together.
Yep.
Let's forget about who gets credit for it. Let's forget about whose idea it was. Let's sit down and let's work on it. And this is my proposition. See, this is why I've been successful in my career. I pick one problem, and guess what I do with it? I fix it.
Fix it. Move on.
And then I take the next problem. And I fix it.
Yep.
And then I take the next problem. You guys see a pattern here?
Yeah.
And then I fix it.
Yeah, no rabbit trails.
Right. Well, what they do is go, well, everything's important. Let's do a little here, a little there, a little there. Nothing ever gets fixed. Let's face it.
Right.
So I have a saying that I tell my teachers and my staff members. If everything's important, nothing's important. Mm-hmm. And that's just common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you don't get with a high school diploma sometimes is common sense.
Amen.
Let's talk about logic. Debate.
Critical thinking. Yeah, all of that.
They'll tell you those are standards, right? Those are standards. Those are all in there.
Yeah, right.
So why aren't the kids coming out with those skills?
Because they're not being taught.
Let me tell you one other thing that I want to do, and I think this is extremely important. Our kids learn at a couple of grades through school, they learn U.S. history. Well, I would like to see, let's just say third grade, eighth grade, and 11th grade, right? The times where they learn about U.S. history, or even in government in the 12th grade. Those kids should be submerged in the Constitution,
yes,
in the Bill of Rights. They need to know their rights. They don't even know what their rights are. Your board members don't know their rights at these school districts. Your superintendents don't know their rights.
And they take an oath to protect them.
That's the first thing you do before you take office is I promise to blah, 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 right?
Right.
It's the first thing you do. They don't even know what it says.
Right.
So I think that those kids at those ages, and I think you should be teaching it the whole way through, mm-hmm. and I plan on making a curriculum at the county level and making it free to every school district, right? It's not going to cost you a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They love free stuff. And it's going to be a program for certain grades. And we could even have every week, 1 week out of a month could be Constitution Week. We celebrate our liberty. You know, we don't badmouth our forefathers. We talk about the great things they did. Freedom, liberty, justice. My grandfather passed away at 95 years old a year ago. Fought in World War II for years. 17-year-old kid. let's do it for that man.
Yeah.
Right? He's my hero. That man, my hero.
Yes.
So there's so many things that we can do that we're not doing now. And again, I don't want to badmouth my opponent, but it's very clear that what she's doing is not working, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to come in. I'm basically retired. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been calling myself semi-retired for the last few years. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like being retired. I like to play golf. My golf game's gotten a little better. I've got to catch up with some old friends, spend more time with my wife, because I used to live out of town. Mm-hmm. I would drive Monday morning, I'd drive, get up. I had an apartment like in Palermo. Drive down there Monday morning, get up at 6. By the time I got there, I'd be like half asleep because I'm, exhausted. Go work all week, get home at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on Friday night. Spend time with my kids and my family. During the week, I would also, my kids all played sports at Shasta High, so during the week, I would also drive back here to watch them play sports.
Yeah.
And one of the good things was they played Chico, they played Red Bluff, so I could actually go to Chico or I could go to Red Bluff. So then I'd just kiss them goodbye.
Half the trip,
I didn't miss anything like that. Unless I had a school board meeting or I was ill or something like that, I might have missed it. But I think of back to basics. You know, what we're doing is not working. It's not working. It's not working for parents. It's not working for kids.
Yeah.
And I'm here to change that. I'm here to change that. And I want to make a promise to everyone. If you elect me, I'll do it. I promise that. I'll do it. I'm a fighter. Like I said, Bible says, act like a lion, be fierce as a lion, gentle as a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can do both. You mess with the kids of Shasta County, you don't listen to the parents of Shasta County, the lion's coming out. The claws are coming out.
Well, Brian Caples, you seem like the man that wants to get something done. You've been, that's amazing.
People can look you up again, like website information.
Yes.
Can you give that to us again so we can make sure everybody has access?
And if you're having a fundraiser soon and what's going on with that stuff, and elaborate a little more on your coffee meetings.
Sure. Go to the website, votebriancaples.com, BRYANCAPLES.com. On there, you can find information. You can email us. You can find information about our fundraiser that's coming up on March 26th.
And where's that going to be?
That's at the VFW in Anderson.
All right.
So we've got room for hundreds, ladies and gentlemen. But tickets are going fast. So if you're going to come, I would recommend that you get them right away.
Do you have tables for sale?
We do. Tickets are $40 each.
Okay.
It'll be a raffle.
Okay.
Auction. Great food. Dill's Deli's doing the food, so you can never go wrong with Dill's. Right?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Mike and Jessica, a couple of good American Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll have them work on the Constitution program that I'm trying to implement. Huh? You think they'd be good for that? You think they'd help me out with that?
Jessica would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's on March 26th at the VFW. You can get tickets. You can go on. You can print out a flyer. If you'd rather write out a check, there's information. You can mail that to our address. If you want to do it online, you can go to Eventbrite. There's links on there that you can just click. Donations, again, I have been overwhelmed by the donations that people have sent me. Some people send $100, some people send $50, but I'm going to be honest with you. I got a donation for $10.
That's the best.
And when I saw that, guess what? I had a tear in my eye.
Yep.
My wife goes, well, what's wrong? I go, somebody just sent me $10. She goes, oh, that's wonderful. But, it just meant so much to me. Right, it's like the older woman in the Bible that gave a shekel or just a pinch.
A mite.
Well, yeah, she gave more than the rich man.
That's
that
right.
Gave gave hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So it just brought a tear to my eye. I just was so moved about that. Coffee with Caples is going to be every Friday from 8 to 10. Those Fridays that I can make it, and we'll advertise that.
Okay.
So you'll see that on Facebook, and we'll put that on the website. We'll go to different communities. So next week we may go to Anderson, we may go to Cottonwood, we may go to Fall River. So people need to talk. They have questions.
Right.
And people seem to appreciate that I'm honest with them. And I'm not a politician. Let me tell you what I believe I am. I'm not a politician. What I would like to be called is a statesman.
Yep.
Right? There's a big difference between a statesman and a politician. Right?
Amen.
You look up the word statesman and you won't see my picture, but It'll tell you how I feel about the whole thing. I don't like that word politician. It's dirty. It's not who I am. That's for sure. So a lot going on. We may have another fundraiser. We're hoping to do something, maybe a wine and cheese mixer or something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know all about that. A lot of work.
Is there a phone number where people can call you that you have a phone number for?
Well, usually how people get a hold of us, because there are, believe it or not, there are those out there that aren't very nice to me. So we don't give out phone numbers. You can get a hold of me on the website or on Facebook, and you can message me. I've had people from you're not going to believe this, I've had people from her office contact me on Facebook and say horrible things about me.
From her?
Not from her.
No, from her office?
From her office.
Oh, you mean, you mean Judy's office?
Judy's office. Oh, okay. A gentleman, I think his name's Scooter Spencer, works for as an accountant. He's bad-mouthing me on Facebook and being mean to me. If that was me, you can bet, well, number one, fired. Number two, I'd call my opponent and say, hey, I am so sorry that somebody from my office did that to you. We've also got her assistant superintendent, Adam Hillman's wife, is on social media cohorting with known socialists that are bad-mouthing me and calling me names that I can't even tell you the names they're calling me. I couldn't. Wow. You wouldn't let me do it. You'd bleep me out.
Well, you can do it on our podcast.
Sure. So now her office is actively engaged. They're actively engaged in doing that to me. So I don't expect an apology. You know, she's a curriculum director, not a statesman.
Yep.
So I don't expect an apology, but I want to tell her this. Mrs. Flores, I look forward to debating you, not just once, but several times.
Amen.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of cases, all this bantering back and forth by people who are working for an incumbent, mm-hmm. I mean, even staff members. It isn't just you, Brian. There's a lot of other things going on with other staff members. And believe me, we have had different things where people have badgered us. A few things we couldn't even play on the air in the podcast.
Badgered, yeah.
To where some of us even carry around a police officer's cell phone number. So yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff gets to be a little bit hairy. I think the thing is that for me, I think that your honesty, your energy, I think that your
passion,
and I think the thing is that, you know, you're an OBS guy, and that's the deal. I mean, you're laying it right out there for
and
folks.
And your experience, having been there, done
that's
that.
That's amazing.
That's huge. Huge, huge.
So, again, folks, you need to go on Brian Caple's website. You need to go and make sure that you learn more about this man. We will be having him on the podcast on Mountaintop Media. And if you're listening to this program right now, share it.
MountaintopMedia.com. That's how you access it.
Well,
we got to get it out there so people don't get all confused.
You're right. Okay. Anyway, we've got 2 minutes. We're having a quarrel here.
I've got a lot of experience with that, gentlemen. Remember, I was a principal. I can separate you, too.
Hey, we both spent enough time in the principal's
office. We did.
Do you want to hear a story about how I used to separate kids?
How's that?
When I was a principal, let's say two first graders were arguing. They were arguing over a ball.
Yeah.
They were arguing. I go, what's going on here, gentlemen? They went, he's my ball. And I'd say, by the power vested in me by the state of California and your parents, I hereby separate you two. And one would run that way and run that way. And it was so much fun doing that. Like they knew that was the deal. Separated.
And the ball stayed there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I got the ball and gave it to another kid. Yeah.
Wynn and I are both at an age and a weight that we don't run anywhere.
If we're running, there's something seriously wrong.
So, Brian, we have about a minute and a half here. Bring us home, brother. Anything you want the people to know?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mentioned the term statesman. And those that know me know that I mean business. Mm-hmm. The minute I don't do the will of the people, I want you to start a recall, and I want you to help him.
Yep.
The minute that starts. I'll tell you what.
Don't worry. We've got the experience.
Sure.
We'll do
sure.
it.
Yeah. Well, and I want people to know, too, your school boards can be recalled, too.
Absolutely.
Even easier.
Look at San Francisco.
Even easier because you don't need nearly as many signatures. You're just talking about a couple of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So when that happens, no, I'm not going to say when that happens because it's not happening.
Yeah.
If that happens, if I go senile or something happens or I get hit by a truck and can't think or I need to be out of there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold you guys responsible and the community responsible. We will have open forums where we can talk to the community. We'll go out. I'll have a team of people and we will meet with community members. I will go to the schools. I will go through classrooms. I will go to their events. Again, my opponent does the great photo op of her receiving an award that next year the next person handed it to her is going to get, and the next year the next person next to him is going to get, and if she stays there long enough, guess what? She'll be Woman of the Year twice.
There you go.
Right? Heck yeah. What a great honor.
Okay, now you've got 30 seconds left. Give us the last bit of what you want us to know.
Well, if you haven't already figured it out, I'm here for the kids, mm-hmm. and I'm here for our teachers. Our teachers have been put in the middle of this for the last 2 years. And, hey, it's not just the last 2 years. I shouldn't say that. It's been the last 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your teachers are highly educated people. They work hard. Let's give them back control of their classrooms. And I will advocate for every single teacher in this county to be able to do that.
Amen.
Brian Caples, supervisor. Superintendent.
Superintendent.
We'd like to have him as a superintendent.
Superintendent.
That's his next role. Superintendent of Schools, Shasta County. Think about it. A statesman.
Yep.
That's what we need because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.